This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. You know, one of the hardest things for the average American to believe is that there really are wicked people who would do wicked and evil things to other human beings or to children, or that things could be happening in this country that you're not reading about in the newspaper. This evening, as I was watching the news at dinner, and they had a little ad about a child, and the child was maybe 2 years old, and it was sitting in a high chair, and they were saying, you know, we want to help this child, you know. Now, developing his mind now is going to be with him the rest of his life, and what we want to do is give him the proper stimulation and talk to him and help him develop his mind. And as I sat there and listened, I thought of what we're going to be hearing tonight. And I thought of the children who have been intentionally given vaccines that they knew contained mercury that would damage their minds, and children who were given fluoride, knowing full well fluoridated water has a definite impact and lowers the IQ on children and even on adults. In fact, the active ingredient in Prozac is, and Luvox, and all of these is fluoride compounds. But of course, this evening we're going to be talking to Betty Martini about aspartame, about NutraSweet, which isn't drinks that women are encouraged to drink when they're pregnant, because of course it'll help them to lose weight. Of course, it doesn't help them to lose weight, but what it does do is damage the brains of their children, and that was known. That was known back in the 1980s. When Cyril actually got this poison authorized, the FDA, well, I'm going to let Betty tell you a little bit about that, because the FDA had withheld approval of this poisonous substance from the market for many years. Hi, Betty. How are you tonight?
Nice to be back on your show.
Well, Betty Martini is a very articulate spokesman. In fact, she's going to be with us for 2 hours tonight, because we had her on the other day for 1 hour, and we just barely scratched the surface of this amazing, amazing story. And the fact you're not reading about it is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over the media and over what the American people think. And the reason for this, of course, is the fact that one of the most powerful men in America today happened to be the president of Cyril, a pharmaceutical company, at the time that this poison was approved and put into our diet. And, of course, that man today is the Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld. Why don't you tell the story?
Well, Dr. Stan, it started a long time ago when Cyril tried to get aspartame approved. And they, of course, it's very hard to take a chemical poison and prove that it's safe. They had two FDA toxicologists, Dr. Adrian Gross and Dr. Jacqueline Barrett, and they oversaw some of these studies they were doing. For instance, the rats would develop brain tumors, and then they would excise brain tumors, put the rats back in the study. When the rats died, they would resurrect them on paper. They were doing these sort of things.
In other words, they knew that this produced convulsions and brain tumors and real mental problems in the rats. And these were the clinical studies that were paid for by the drug company, by Cyril?
Yes. And interestingly, if you read the secret trade information, which is on www.doorway.com, one O in the door, D-O-R-W-A-Y, you'll see in the last paragraph that Cyril even mentioned that they had to consider complete conversion to DKP, which is the brain tumor agent, and if they told the FDA, they wouldn't get it approved. So they knew people were going to come down with brain tumors and all the things that they were seeing in the studies. One of the studies that approved it was a 52-week oral toxicity study done on 7 infant monkeys. 5 had grand mal seizures, and 1 died, and they actually used that to prove safety. But this was going on for so long, the FDA decided that it was more than the fact that the studies did not show safety. It was a matter of fraud. And they asked U.S. prosecutor Skinner to indict them for fraud. In any event, he hired on with a defense team. And so then they asked William Conlon, another U.S. prosecutor, to investigate and indict them. And he, too, hired on with the defense team.
Now, what you're saying is that these were U.S. prosecutors who had access to all the information about the harm and the damage that Cyril knew would come to our children, if this was ever approved. And these prosecutors then left their jobs with the federal government, sold their souls and the minds and future of so many children. And for whatever sum of money they got, they then went to work for the defense team, knowing full well all the evidence against Cyril, and they defended Cyril. Did that really happen?
It really happened. And they, they went to work for them. And then the FDA said, well, you know, even if the statute of limitations has expired, it's still not going to get approved. So they would not allow it on the market for 16 years. But in the meantime, Cyril had hired, you know, Don Rumsfeld, and
he was the CEO, wasn't he?
He was the CEO,
right.
Cyril.
Now, for our listeners, Donald Rumsfeld is part of a little group known as the Project for the New American Century that began planning the Iraqi War back in 1997. If you doubt that, go to their website, newamericancentury.org, read their material, look who signed the letters. You'll see Donald Rumsfeld there in almost all of them. They started planning the carnage in Iraq back in 1997, that today they control the executive branch of government. Don't take my word for it. Go and look at their website, newamericancentury.org. Get this information. This is a subject, with a man like this in charge of our Defense Department, and of course planning not one, but a series of wars over there, America's in real trouble. So anyway, Cyril hires Donald Rumsfeld, who's formerly been the Secretary of Defense, I guess under Nixon, wasn't he?
Yeah, but what he said was, the interesting thing is that everything is documented. Everything is a matter of public record. See, Cyril had built this $17 million NutraSweet factory. They had $9 million worth of inventory on hand, and so Donald Rumsfeld said, well, I'll call in my markers and get it approved anyway. He didn't care if it was safe or not.
He didn't care how many children are going to be damaged or have brain tumors or even the effect on adults. He was going, because there's a lot of money involved here.
Well, he was on Reagan's transition team, and so the day after Reagan took office, the first thing he did was appoint an FDA commissioner that would approve it, because no FDA commissioner for these past 16 years would approve it. Incidentally, all this is in the congressional record. If you were to read the 8-month investigation by United Press International, which is on the web, you'll see all this about Donald Rumsfeld.
And is this all on your website?
Right. It's in the congressional record. And then it is in the United Press International investigation of aspartame by Gregory Gordon. So then he hired, he appointed Dr. Arthur Ho Hayes. And then, even then, the FDA set up a board of inquiry of the finest scientists that they had. And the decision was that aspartame was not safe. It caused brain tumors. The petition is to be revoked. And what Dr. Hayes did was overrule the Board of Inquiry and then go to work for the PR agency of the manufacturer, and has refused to talk to the press ever since. And so this is how it got on the market.
This was about 1980 or so?
This was, it was approved in 1981.
Okay.
And even, an interesting thing is that even when the Board of Inquiry convened, they had absolutely no idea that they were even thinking about putting aspartame in carbonated beverages. This is in the records, too. To begin with, they were going to put it in dry foods. Well, this is ridiculous, because if you put Equal in a cup of hot coffee, you just heated it. They were concerned about it breaking down and decomposing. And the National Soft Drink Association, in 1983, wrote a protest about putting it in the drinks, because they quoted the law, we have it on web, that said that it was illegal to put anything in food that decomposed or adulterated, and they mentioned that it decomposed at 86 degrees. So before...
Now, what does it break down to, just for our listeners, so that they'll know what happens when this product breaks down?
Well, first of all, it has aspartic acid, a methyl ester that becomes methanol or wood alcohol.
That's wood alcohol that makes you blind.
Right, exactly like during Prohibition. And then you've got a 50% phenylalanine, and Dr. Wortman at MIT told Congress it goes directly into the brain. And of course, it lowers the seizure threshold and depletes serotonin. So the wood alcohol converts to formaldehyde and formic acid. And in the TRACO study, it shows that the formaldehyde accumulates in the cells. It basically embalms you, that it caused DNA damage. Most toxicity in the liver, for instance, is causing steatohepatitis, big time. Then also substantial toxicity in the brain and the adipose tissues, which is your fat cells, and the kidneys. So that, in fact, in Dr. Roberts' medical text, Aspartame Disease and Ignored Epidemic, there's a full page on pre-embalming, and that's because of that breakdown. And, of course, when you deplete serotonin, it's changing brain chemistry, and you deplete serotonin, then you've got manic depression or bipolar, suicidal tendencies, insomnia, panic attacks, anxiety, and all these things are, you know, documented by the experts and the doctors because, as you know, we've seen those in our children. And there have been several times that they have shown that if they simply took the pop machines and the junk machines out of schools, the kids could learn again and behavioral problems would disappear. One of those stories is on Safe Harbor website called Miracle in Wisconsin, where they took the worst school and then took and gave them real food, and the kids could learn. Behavioral problems became nil. Just a couple of days ago, there was an article in the Mirror in the UK how they took two twins and they measured their IQ, and they took out E numbers, which are aspartame in Europe is E951. Got rid of the additive. When it was over, the twin who had not used the E numbers or the additives had a higher IQ and no problems, whereas the other twin was who was using them still had the the behavioral problems that they were seeing.
Now, is there any relationship to ADD and ADHD, attention deficit?
Oh, of course. ADD is just rampant because of aspartame. Interesting thing about that is that Dr. John Oney testified and actually wrote a report to the Board of Inquiry on what would happen to our children, to the brains of our children, if they approved it. And if anybody wants it, Mission Possible Maine has that on their website, but now they're putting it on a CD with the entire congressional record, Dr. Oney's testimony to the Board of Inquiry, and the entire Board of Inquiry report showing how unsafe it is per the FDA.
Now, who is Mission Possible?
His name is Bob Flint. His website is www.greatfallspro.com. But he took these great, big, thick documents, which a lot of people would find hard to find, that nobody would be able to get Dr. Oney's report today. And he put them all on one CD so that anybody that wanted them could see what went on. So, unfortunately, Dr. Oney's prophecy has been fulfilled. And even in Parents Magazine a few years ago, there was an article that said, what's happening to our children? And they explained that almost every family in America has been affected by this, whether it's somebody's cousin or what, but that all the kids have these problems like learning, ADD, ADHD. And it said by the time a child had reached the fourth level of high school, one out of four had contemplated suicide.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. I remember, I'm old enough to remember how they got that in, the aspartame in, at least, as superficially without knowing what you're talking about. They suddenly found that saccharin, which is a sugar substitute, was carcinogenic because they had these cats and they fed them 6,000 times the accepted dose of saccharin. The cats that were prone to develop bladder cancer, and you never guess what happened. A couple of them developed bladder cancer based upon that one study of why they outlawed the use of saccharin, and gee, we had to have a sweetener, didn't we? And
Dr. Roberts has an excellent position paper on saccharin where he also explained that a 23-year study to replicate those bladder tumors did not show any bladder tumors, and rats have a protein in urine that caused the crystallization in the beginning. And, of course, they were using that on TV. Everybody heard about the aspartame wars. Nobody wanted to use it. So, you know, Raquel Welch was talking about, hey, this one is saccharin, but this one is equal. And so that was a way that we believed they were trying to get people to use NutraSweet after all the aspartame wars in the beginning.
All right, fine. So then they got it into the Diet Cokes, and they got it in. It's in so many supplements of our food today. And, of course, they have all sorts of trick names for it so that people don't really know that they're getting it. What are some of the names that they use so they can get people to buy it who do know there's a problem with aspartame?
Well, here's the problem. If you go to some things, let's take something like Pepsid AC. Only thing it says on the front of the box is contains phenylalanine. And many people do not know the ingredients of aspartame. You know, they wouldn't know what phenylalanine is, or, you know, the molecule breaks down to the brain tumor agent, diketocyprazine. They would just see that and not think anything of it. Also, first of all, it's aspartame. It was marketed as NutraSweet, Equal, Spoonful. It's in a Nature Taste. In other countries like England, it's Canderel and E951. In some countries, it's Benevia. Many times, it is put in things that say artificial and natural flavors. It's hidden. So many of the victims don't know it until they use it. And we have four support groups, and I can tell you they react to many things that we then find aspartame in only by calling the manufacturer of whatever product it is and asking. For instance, if you picked up toothpaste and saw E951, you probably wouldn't realize that is aspartame.
Now, what about, of course, these artificial enhancers? Sometimes is that MSG, or is that, I mean, when they use these, some of these vague terms, they could be several things, couldn't they?
Well, MSG is sort of like aspartame's cousin. They're both excitotoxins, and they have a synergistic effect. And as you know, Dr. Blaylock wrote an excellent book about aspartame and MSG called Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. I believe you carry it.
We do carry it. Excitotoxin, The Taste That Kills. And everybody out there in the listening audience, you get this if you really care about your family and your children. And help us get this truth of that, this incredible story out. How could this be going on in America? Why, very simply, we have some of the finest newspapers that money can buy here in America, and they're just not going to tell you that. Neither ABC, CBS, or NBC, at least. Usually, once in a while, you get the truth. Sometimes, of course, the producer of the program that tells the truth will be fired. And if you haven't read the book, Into the Buzzsaw, 18 stories of people working within the media who tried to tell the truth, and what happened to them. Into the Buzzsaw, another fascinating book available through our ministry, trying to get people to understand that we do not get the truth from the media, despite the fact that they try to give you the idea, oh, we are so honest, we're just here to bring you the facts. Well, if this is, in what we're saying tonight is true, then why hasn't somebody broken the story recently? Why is that, Betty?
Well, the problem that we have, of course, is, you know, with advertisers, people like Coca-Cola and Pepsi.
And what about Dr. Pepper? Is it in Dr. Pepper, too?
Yes, Diet Dr. Pepper. It is in that one, too. And, of course, they pay for the advertising, and many times they'll cancel them. Now, there's a lot of good media, just like yourself, that does get it out. They can't stop it. I mean, it's all over the world. We have operations in just about every state in 22 countries of the world. We give out flyers. I'm on radio or TV constantly. So it is getting out there as far as, and the doctors are that are the experts. So they're getting to hear it. It's just that the mainline media that we have problems with, and incidentally, while you were talking about MSG, I think your listeners would like to know that when they were doing studies on MSG before aspartame was approved, they actually used, the glutamate people used aspartame as a placebo because they were unable to show that MSG does not react. So they were saying, well, it won't react any more than the placebo. And the way they found that out is that Jack Samuels, who has an excellent site on MSG, which is www.truthandlabeling.org, filed suit against the FDA and found this in their records. And they were continually using aspartame as a placebo, which is absolutely a crime because the placebo is supposed to be inert or non-active. So this is the collusion between that. Dr. John Oney did the studies on aspartic acid back in 1970. And this is when he found out that that cause lesions in the brains of mice and founded the field of neuroscience called excitotoxicity. And that's what aspartic acid is.
And, of course, basically there are laws that say if something produces a cancer in animals, you can't give it to human beings. But that didn't bother the people in Cyril because there were literally billions of dollars at stake here.
Well, it's interesting that that's in the congressional record. That was the Delaney Amendment, and that forbid putting anything in food that you knew would cause cancer. And I know Dr. Adrian Gross's words verbatim that he told Congress, which was that aspartame, beyond a shadow of a doubt, can produce brain tumors and brain cancer. And it violates the Delaney Amendment. And his last words to Congress were, quote, "And if the FDA violates its own laws, who's left to protect the public?"
But, of course, the FDA, at least in recent years, has been violating its laws quite regularly.
Yes,
and what
they
happens
serve above
is,
the law.
What happens is you get these government officials in, and, of course, they get something through for a big company, and you'd never guess what happens. Why? They leave their government employment and the limited, limited expense account, and they go to work for one of the major drug companies, Searles or Wyeth or one of the others, as a vice president with just unlimited expenses, and they live out the rest of their life in luxury, and then they get a big pension. And this is the reality of what's going on today. But why doesn't Congress do something about it?
They tried. But let me give you a good example of that. Back in 1996, Dr. John only made world news on the Aspartame Brain Tumor Association. He was even on 60 Minutes. And they used, it was Dr. Friedman. They didn't have an FDA commissioner. He was just standing in. And with all the FDA records on the brain tumors, he actually got on 60 Minutes and defended Monsanto by saying that it doesn't cause brain tumors. So I wrote him and I said, "Well, tell me, Dr. Friedman, when are you going to get your reward?" Well, in 1999, Monsanto hired him and for an awful lot of money as Vice President Searle. And I wrote him back and I said, "You know what? You people don't need a revolving door anymore. Why don't you just build a bridge to take care of the traffic?" But that's exactly what is going on with that revolving door.
I bet you did not get a reply, did you?
No.
I
but
think
it's
that,
on record, well, let me tell you.
Well, the thing is, of course, that there are going to be some lawsuits, and I hope that you'll go after every one of these people and after their pensions, because what has happened is beyond criminal, because to intentionally damage the brains of children. Now, does this have an effect on the IQ of children?
Oh, absolutely. And the interesting thing is that Dr. Lewis Elsis, Emory University, he's a professor of pediatrics and genetics, he testified before Congress what it does to the fetus, that it's causes birth defects and mental retardation. And I want you to know that Monsanto put these men on a yacht and tried to change their minds and for speaking out like that, and that's in the UPI investigation after they spoke to Congress. But, I mean, the FDA knows and has steadfastly refused to put a warning for pregnant women. So now you've got autistic children, children with birth defects. Some of them have called me mothers who have used diet drinks through 2 and 3 pregnancies and had as many as 3 autistic children. And, of course, even later on, like Dr. Blaylock says, that if they've used it, and even if the child appears to be normal by the time they reach puberty, they'll probably have behavioral problems.
No, of course, there are animal studies that show what happens when animals, when the pregnant use these products, aren't there?
Studies were done by Emory University, but I'll tell you something else. They actually did studies on humans. What Searle did is they did studies in South America where they hoped nobody would see them, where they gave aspartame to people in poor villages, and the pregnant woman lost her baby. Of course, many of them developed brain tumors. These were 18-month studies. Some of them developed seizures. It showed that that it destroys the brain and the central nervous system, and that it hardens the synovial fluids. And they never published those studies, although there is an affidavit from the translator on the website, Notarized, that she and another doctor translated those studies. And what Searle did at the time when they found out how deadly it was close up their office in Florida and go back to Illinois. But
now, of course, Donald Rumsfeld had access to all of this, didn't he, when he got this through?
Oh, Don Rumsfeld knew everything about aspartame to do this. I mean, after all, the CEO, he was the CEO of Searle.
Right.
Of the people going to try to get this. And, I mean, to push this on pregnant women, like Dr. Roberts says, when I told him, I said, it's criminal, he said, but it's worse than that, it's obscene. Because they know that either the woman's going to lose the baby, or the child's going to have birth defects or problems later on, or as Dr. Bowen has often said, will damage the DNA for generations.
And you know, Chris, one of the big tragedies is a lot of obstetricians are being programmed by the drug company, by people who make the diet drinks, I should say, you know, well, prescribe this for your pregnant women, you know, your pregnant mothers, you know, mothers-to-be, because your pregnant patients, this will keep their weight down. And so, actually, no, in years past, they were actually giving these women, you know, free coupons where they could get it. And yet, of course, there was no question at all what it was going to do to them.
But
and for the children.
There are so many elements of the fertility process. I mean, even a lot of people, the fertility clinics are just flowing over because aspartame is an endocrine-disrupting chemical, and it stimulates prolactin, changes menses. So first, usually the woman can't get pregnant at all. Then she gets off of aspartame and gets pregnant. She usually will lose the baby. If she doesn't lose the baby, she usually, if the baby survives, the baby's going to have birth defects.
What does it do to the men as far as their sperm count and things are concerned?
There's a new study that was just done in Japan about that because of the damage to DNA damage to the sperm. It also causes infertility in men. It also damages the hypothalamus of the brain and the mitochondria of the cell, causing male sexual dysfunction. And also wounds female response. So that's why it just destroys the entire fertility process. As Dr. Bowen says, from the green and mother and dad's eye down to, you know, the actually destroying the fetus.
And, of course, the thing is that this is known. Now, what about other countries? Are any of the other countries putting restrictions on the use of aspartame in food, in the food chain?
Well, we have a lot going on in Europe right now. I've lectured in England a couple of times, and Parliament has just voted to reappraise aspartame. Actually, when it was approved in Europe, it was done through a business deal because Searle knew if they ever found out what went on in America and them wanting them indicted, they were not going to get it approved in another country and they could not get it rubber stamped around the world. So they just made a business deal with a man by the name of Paul Turner, who was in the regulatory department in England, and he just approved it without anybody knowing it. Then there was a big blowout in Parliament. And this story was in The Guardian, but they
were
going
to have to interrupt you. We're going to have to interrupt you there. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And our guest this evening is Betty Martini. You can go to her website, www.doorway.com. That's www.doorway.com. And, of course, when her husband retired, he said, well, do you want to see the world or do you want to save the world? And Betty decided she wanted to try to get the truth out. And so she's been doing this. How long have you been at it, Betty?
10 years.
Well, God bless you for what you're doing. But if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, give us a call at 1-800-1888-24-LIBERTY or here in the central coast of California at 464-8295. And certainly we have our listeners up in the eastern part of Washington. They'll only be with us for another 30 minutes, unfortunately. But unless, of course, they're going to listen to the second hour on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. But certainly you can, if you do have a question or comment, this is the time to do it. We do carry Dr. Blaylock's excellent book entitled Excitotoxin, The Taste That Kills. And then, of course, we also carry his book entitled Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, which has a section in there on excitotoxins and the subject we're talking on, all beautifully documented, all with the scientific studies. And the great tragedy is the average doctor has no idea really what's going on behind the scenes. The doctors are so busy going to their meetings, and of course many of the meetings are sponsored by the drug companies. The journals they read, sponsored by the drug companies. I mean, do you honestly think that any of the journals are going to publish articles that tell you the truth about Sierra or Monsanto when many times the big advertisers there? Money talks, and of course money also can buy silence. Well, there are a couple of other quick points I wanted to make, but you know the real problem here is the fact that initially this was owned by Cyril. They sold it to Monsanto, and now Monsanto has sold this to a number of other companies. Does Monsanto still have any financial interest? Is it, or is it all their subsidiaries that have the interest in it?
Well, they sold it to four different entities. Now, one of them is Monsanto Investment Group called Marisant. That it's a bunch of Monsanto managers. Part of it was sold to Michael Dell's Investment Corporation. Part of it was sold to Ajinomoto, who has always been sort of a Siamese twin and child's in Boston that's in the tabletop sweeteners. So it's sort of divided all the way around. And then they were trying to get rid of their name. They merged with Pharmacia Upjohn. We used to call them PU, so now it was just Pharmacia. And then they were talking about merging with Pfizer, but that they would spin off Monsanto. So it appears that most, you know, nobody wants Monsanto, so it's sort of out there now where attorneys can get back to them.
All right, fine. Now, there are lawsuits that...
We are taking case histories for class action having to do with the brain tumors, the seizures, the eye deterioration, and the blindness. There are many, many different problems, like, you know, the birth defects, sudden death from the damage to the cardiac conduction system, drug interaction. You know, it's interesting that USA put out an article just, about a week ago or 2 weeks ago about the fact that one out of four in the United States has a drug reaction. Can you imagine 2/3 of the population on aspartame, 40% of the children, when it interacts with just about every drug used to treat the problems it causes? So, for instance, if a child has a seizure on aspartame and they take them to the emergency room, the doctor will ordinarily give them something like Dilantin, which interacts with aspartame, or like any seizure medication. Pushed on diabetics, interacts with insulin. It causes an irregular heart rhythm and damages the cardiac conduction system, causing sudden death. It interacts with all cardiac medication. It causes all these behavioral problems. It interacts with all antidepressants. It can precipitate Parkinson's and interacts with L-DOPA. And the list goes on and on. It has an interaction with hormones. And doctors don't know it because the FDA and industry and the professional organizations they fund put out their propaganda, and they have no idea that it is not an additive, but it is a deadly neurotoxic drug.
Now, what about the relationship to diabetes? I was just reading that I think one in four Hispanics, by the time they're in their 60s, is diabetic. What's the relationship is there any relationship to diabetes?
Well, the thing of it is that aspartame precipitates diabetes, and we believe that it has caused the epidemic of diabetes. And there's so many different mechanisms. First of all, aspartame depletes insulin from the brain. And Dr. Blaylock wrote that in a paper on pilots, and that's why they go into hypoglycemia and then into seizure. Dr. Roberts, who is a diabetic specialist, says it simulates neuropathy and retinopathy, keeps blood sugar out of control, causes them to go in convulsions, and that interacts with insulin. They don't even have a chance. Many of the people that we get off of aspartame find out they never even had diabetes. It was just the aspartame keeping blood sugar out of control. Now there's articles about children having adult diabetes. The thing of it is that aspartame ravages every organ in the body.
Now, because you know what's interesting, I was reading the other day, the epidemic of adult diabetes in children today, and they're saying, why are all these children getting adult diabetes, you know?
Exactly, exactly. And not only that, on the front page of Time magazine just a few months ago, they were talking about bipolar in children, but that bipolar was something that adults, you know, didn't get until like they're 25, 30 years old, and they can't figure out why children are getting them. Well, that's a depletion in serotonin. Manic depression is bipolar. I know that Dr. Ralph Walton, who is a psychiatrist and writes much of the information on aspartame and the mental problems, is extremely interested in bipolar because it's being triggered so much by the aspartame.
And, of course, all this is known. And, of course, what you can do, ladies and gentlemen out there in the listening audience, is go to Betty's website, great website, www.doorway, that's D-O-R, not two O's, O's but one, doorway.com. Pull down this information, get it to your doctor. I mean, you're going to have to educate him because he's not going to get this from the medical journals. Now, I don't know of a doctor who would intentionally want to hurt a patient. But, of course, if he doesn't know, he's going to hurt them. And, you know, if the doctors understood, we could put an end to this overnight. But, of course, everything has been done through organized medicine, which takes all sorts of handouts. And the people at the upper echelons of medicine have their handout, and the people in the FDA, you know, are getting these plus jobs. And people must understand and help us to get the information out. I do what I do to try to let the American people understand. You know, they say a child's mind is a terrible thing to waste. How many are we not only wasting but destroying? How many children are getting brain tumors, skyrocketing incidence of brain tumors, and they say, oh, shucks, we just can't figure this out. Well, I'm sure Donald Rumsfeld understands. But of
children
course,
are being born with brain tumors, right, too. It's terrible.
Right. Let's go to Gloria calling from Spokane, Washington. And if you're out there in the listening audience, don't be bashful. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Go ahead, Gloria.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. I am on a prayer chain in our church, and I could not believe the numbers of prayer requests praying for babies with brain tumors.
Well, now you can tell them, and I'd tell the parents and get those records over, you know, to Betty and join this class action suit.
Yes.
We're not going to get any help from the government, so we're going to have to go to the lawyers. You know, the fact the government covered for the dramatic effects of tobacco for years, knowing full well what was going to happen. In fact, they even put a warning on the cigarette packages saying this can be harmful to your health. And then when people tried to sell the tobacco manufacturers, they said, well, the warning was right there. How can you possibly blame the tobacco companies? After all, why, you know, just look right. All you had to do is read what's on the package. The government was subsidizing tobacco, the growing of tobacco, knowing full well it was killing large numbers of people. But it's great for population control. And, of course, with this product, as Betty was saying, they know that it decreases fertility in both male and female. And that's, of course, the same thing happens with fluoride. That's why they're using these things, because, you see, there are too many people in the world, and they got to die of something, or either maybe be better off they just were never born at all. Gloria, what's your question?
Well, one other comment I have. Spokane just came up with the Children's Oncology Department for one of the major hospitals. They have a whole new ward just for that, and I'm thinking to myself, why do children have cancer? And so, you know, I've always wondered that and pondered that, and I've never been able to figure it out. This is the first time that I've ever...
I know. It is just so tragic. I mean, they knew that it breaks down. If you heard in the very beginning, I said to check out the secret trade information, which was volunteered during congressional hearings that we have on web, and that in the last paragraph they admit complete conversion to DKP, which is the brain tumor agent, and say if we tell the FDA, they're not going to approve it. They knew that the population was going to come down with brain tumors, and so many babies are born with them, and some of them are born without eyes, without brains. I mean, it's, I can't tell you
how
horrible
it is. Have you ever heard of a relationship with this and acoustic neuromas?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And there is?
They're all, I mean, in original studies, it was astrocytomas, and the four-stage astrocytomas, glioblastoma, but there were pituitary adenomas and different types. And lymphoma, brain lymphoma, Dr. Roberts says, was rare before aspartame came on the market. Now it's the third, growing brain tumor.
Now, what about tumors elsewhere in the body? Is there any relationship to other tumors as well?
In original studies, it caused brain tumors, mammary, big time, uterine, ovarian, testicular. Testicular cancer is skyrocketing, too. Thyroid and pancreatic tumors.
Could you get your website again so we can see the foods that contain this and your research, Betty?
This is a problem because the patent has expired, and it's believed to be in 9,000 foods and climbing, and that the only way you can tell is to read every label and stay away from anything processed, anything that says artificial and natural flavors. And there's always a 1-800 number for the manufacturer. And children, make sure you never buy pediatric vitamins from the grocery store. For instance, Flintstone Vitamins has aspartame in it, and one six-year-old child took them and was pronounced dead at the ER and then revived. That story was told on hard copy, and today that child has brain damage from that Flintstone Vitamin with aspartame in it. Most of them in the grocery stores do have them in the... you can get them in the health food store.
You also have to
notify your pediatrician because it's in pediatric medication like on Mentin, which is pediatric penicillin. And also over-the-counter, chewable Tylenol, chewable Benadryl, all of those have aspartame in it.
Our kids are under attack today, Gloria. And
absolutely.
What would be the purpose if this was purposeful? I mean, I just don't understand the relationship it gives a lot of people a lot of jobs, like opening up a whole new hospital, and no one would purposely. I mean, I don't understand.
Well, first of all, aspartame is addictive. The methanol is classified as a narcotic. Excuse me. And, you know, a waitress once told me that people using diet drinks would drink 3 to every regular soda pop, and they crave it. And that's why we have so many support groups. And it was a cash cow to begin with. But if you read some of the documents, like leukopoids, it actually says aspartame was listed with the Pentagon in an inventory of prospective biochemical warfare weapons submitted to Congress. So here they're going to use it to kill the enemy. And look what happened at the Persian Gulf. I mean, they sent over diet drinks with absolute full knowledge that it breaks down at 86 degrees. The protest of the National Soft Drink Association is on web, and 40,000 perished. Aspartame is a chemical hypersensitization drug, so it interacts with vaccines and other toxins. They didn't have a chance.
Is there also a relationship between this and dog food? Because I noticed so many dogs are also getting tumors.
That I don't know. That I would, you know, I've heard something about that, but I simply don't know because I haven't researched the product.
Did you have a website?
www.dorway.com. And you can get the medical text, which, you know, is like 1,000 pages.
That's
of all
Dr.
The
Roberts'
diseases.
Book. Actually, we're going to be carrying that for
okay.
We're going to be carrying Dr. Roberts' book. So I just got it the other day, and you wouldn't want to drop it on your toe, I'll tell you.
Yes, as big as the Atlanta phone directory.
Right. It's 1,000 pages. And, of course, you can get the shorter book, Excitotoxin, The Taste It Kills, Dr. Blaylock's book, and then, of course, The Health and Nutrition Secrets, which has a section in there. But, you know, if you want to get the definitive work, that's Dr. Roberts' book. As I say, it's about 3 inches thick.
Mm.
Okay.
And it's all just about aspartame, huh?
Right. All about aspartame.
And the cover-up. You see, everything is a matter of public record, even when they were having such trouble getting, you know, the studies done and arguing with the FDA. They actually talked the FDA into letting them, bring an outside company in. But what they didn't say is they paid that outside company of pathologists $500,000 not to say anything. They could look at the aspartame studies, but they were sworn to silence as far as making any mention of their safety. And that's in one of Dr. Roberts' first book, Aspartame Nutrasweet Isn't Safe. I mean, every bit of it is a matter of public record what they did to, well, I don't think anybody said it any better than Dr. Bowen, whose paper is also on web to the FDA on labeling, where he says it's mass poisoning of the American public in more than 70-plus countries of the world. It is literally a deadly chemical poison.
But, Gloria, there really are too many people in the world. What are we going to do with them all? Wouldn't it be better just to kill them off? No, well, of course, I say that with tongue-in-cheek, of course, but there are people out there. There really are people with that attitude. And that it's very difficult. I started the program with that statement. It's so difficult for people to imagine anything could be this evil. But when you understand that there is evil and there really are people who are wicked out there, then, of course, a lot of this makes sense. And you find these people going from one position to another and usually end up in very high positions in government.
Do you have to, like, check out your ketchup products? I mean, anything? I mean, tomato sauce? I mean, where is this located, this aspartame? I mean, is it in almost everything?
Well, first of all, maybe you didn't hear the first.
I didn't hear the whole thing.
Okay, aspartame is marketed as NutraSweet equals spoonful, E951, Candorel, Benevia, all sorts of names.
How about Splenda?
Pardon?
Splenda?
Splenda is sucrose, and don't touch that either because it has a chlorinated base just like DDT. And anybody using aspartame, it would interact. I mean, how they outlawed DDT, how they could do this is unbelievable. And Dr. Roberts told me personally, he says, what were they thinking? That's going to cause autoimmune disease.
What about Sweet and Low that they give as an artificial sweetener?
Well, Sweet and Low is saccharin.
Okay, fine. So there is something you can take.
The best thing to take, I mean, if I don't know why everybody has to have these sweeteners at all. They're chemicals. But if you have to have one, I would use stevia because at least that's an herb. It's the salvation of the diabetics because it helps in the metabolism of sugar. So anything like a sulfine, potassium, bisonet, that's another one that caused cancer and leukemia in original studies. All that, incidentally, is in Dr. Roberts' medical text, and it's also on web. And it's also on web at the Aspartame Toxicity Center, which is www.holisticmed.com/aspartame. Now, you may not be able to remember all this, but you can get on web, click on to my name and my email, and I will answer all your questions
for
you.
Well, this is very interesting.
Okay,
thank
fine.
You so much.
Thank
for your
you
program.
So much, Gloria. And our telephone number again is, of course, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And if you have a question for Betty Martini, who is certainly the most articulate person I've run into as far as this is concerned, and she really giving her life, she could be out traveling the world and living, having a good time, but instead she decided to do something that was worthwhile. And I certainly applaud the fact that you've done that, Betty, because we need people getting the truth out about this. And of course, when people see this and they said this could not be this bad, and of course the truth is it's really far worse. So
yes, exactly. That's the point. And it's all out there. If anybody wants to research, nobody can say, you know, it's not true. It's just there. It's in, there have been 3 congressional hearings, and we've got all the government records, the FDA records, everything.
So of course, the FDA knows, but aren't there any people in the FDA now who could go back and say, look, we made a terrible mistake, or would that mean they'd lose their jobs?
I suspect that's what it is. Here you have what some of the doctors called the intact FDA up until the time that aspartame was approved. In other words, they did everything humanly possible to stop it from being approved and to have them indicted, and they failed. But once it was approved, if they say, well, aspartame is not safe, they'll say, well, why did you approve it? So that's the position that they were put in. And then, you know, just like the FAA, I have had a lot of correspondence with them because the pilots are having grand mal seizures in the cockpits of commercial airliners. I think we've lost about 5 on American that have, there are heavy users, 1 in flight drinking a diet, shrink and two that had strokes. And, excuse me. So this is, I mean, the FAA says, well, you know, we can't do anything because the FDA approved it. Of course, frankly, I told the FAA, that is a cop-out. You could get on TV and warn the pilots that this is a neurotoxin and that it's a seizure-triggering drug and that you shouldn't use it. And we've had to go to, I mean, great efforts to get the package to pilots. And at one time, I even flew down to Kirkland Air Force Base and gave out packets to pilots. But it was in U.S. Air Force magazine, Flying Safety, had warned the pilots, and then somebody got to them, and they retracted it. And that's when I went to Kirkland Air Force Base and made sure the pilots knew, you know, that Air Force pilots would not be using a neurotoxin. And planes have crashed. The reason that I started the aviation division was because of a pilot who crashed his plane into a tree. He said, dumb I'm not. He says, but on aspartame, I simply could not make a decision. So we thought the only thing that we could do is just, you know, provide pilot packets to all the pilots and the stewardesses and get the information out, put up an aviation page, so at least that they would know it.
Now, George, and has it had an impact on the use of it by pilots, both commercial and military?
You wouldn't believe how many people, even instructors, that are absolutely just very upset. They have lost their entire occupation, and they ground them for life. And there was one of them from Continental that was on hard copy, and because he towed, he had been grounded, but he was with Continental for 18 years, and as soon as he got on hard copy and told how he had grand mal seizure, they let him go without a pension or anything. That was Haynes Dunn, and something ought to be done for that pilot. They say he was one of the best pilots Continental ever had. Somebody served him some hot chocolate with aspartame in it, and he had a grand mal seizure.
Well, let's get into your recent trip to Great Britain now. You were going over there to give a series of talks in England and going to the continent. When was that?
That was this summer. It was back in June.
All right, fine. So you are, of course, flying over to, I suppose you landed at Heathrow there in London. And so what happened when you arrived? You're just doing it as a tourist. You're going to be doing some speaking. But you're met there at immigration. Oh,
right.
They knew you were coming.
Yes, they knew I was coming. And they said, follow me. That was at Gatwick, actually. But in any event, I couldn't figure out what they wanted with me, and they locked me up for 3.5 hours. But the main question was, if we allow you in England, how many people are going to find out about the dangers of NutraSweet? And that was just incredible that they had the power, that somebody had the power to get immigration to do that.
So what did you tell them when
I told them I was going to, that anybody that heard my lecture was going to find out. In fact, I got all over them. I said, you know, this is your country, and this is your people. And I said, you've got babies being murdered in their mother's womb by this stuff. And I come over to lecture to help your people, and you don't want them warned? What kind of people are you over here?
And so what was the response to that?
His answer to that was, I don't know what to say. I said, I bet you don't. So,
But anyway, he let you in.
He knew that if he had sent me back to America, you know, then the media would have had a field day with it. The media was standing by because there were people to pick me up, and they'd already called the press, their barristers, and, you know, all these people that were waiting for me to lecture even, you know, the next day.
Yep.
So that was then Cowan McKenna, which is a litigation firm in London, actually sent a mole to come record one of the lectures. We thought that was very interesting.
Now they're defending the criminals were involved in this.
I don't know who they represented. Probably Ajinomoto.
Ajinomoto.
Right. It was in Shrewsbury, Shropshire, which is a small place, and it was in a hotel there. And then they had put in the newspaper that I was coming there to lecture. And as soon, you know, as I did that, Ajinomoto, they used the name Aspartame Information Service, put a note in the Shropshire newspaper, the Shropshire Star, not to believe it. So that's how far they were going. I'm sure that's who sent this lady to record the lecture. And we kind of knew that's what they were doing, but it doesn't make any difference because we've made it public all over the world.
All right.
In fact, I told Monsanto when I got started, if you want me, you got to get 900,000 other people because that's the network we're starting with, and nothing will be made private. Everything will be made public. Everything, every stitch of information that we get will be put on a network around the world so that we can advise the public what you've done.
Well, just before we're going to have to leave our listeners up there in the Great Northwest, I want to mention that my good friend Dean Kocher is going to be speaking at the Hawthorne Library at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. Now, Dean is one of the great heroes of our time. He's given up a good profession, and he and his wife are on the road almost all the time, going around the country talking on a different subject, talking about how they're playing games with your mind. But if you've never heard Dean Kocher speak, you've missed something. And if you're there in the Spokane area, he's going to be speaking at the Hawthorne Library on Hawthorne Avenue or Street in Spokane tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. Let me suggest that you go, and I don't know if there's charge at the door. There usually is not, but there might be. But if there is, why, he needs the funds to keep going. He's a patriot. He's doing a very important job. Dean Kocher, tomorrow evening, Saturday evening, at the Hawthorne Library, 6 o'clock there in Spokane, Washington. So go listen to him and, well, let him know that we sent you. So I told him anytime you're giving a talk in an area where we have an outlet, why, we'll be glad to announce it for you. So I'd like to see how many people that we are going to be able to get to go to that lecture. Well, our guest this evening has been Betty Martini, and we'll be talking in the next hour more about this incredible, incredible story. Now, if this is really true, why are we hearing about it all the time? And, of course, you know, you may see it on 60 Minutes, but they're bringing somebody from the FDA who will simply lie about it. But nothing is ever done. In fact, as Betty pointed out, the Dr. Friedman, who lied on 60 Minutes, of course, then was given a nice, comfortable job working for the very people who are producing aspartame. Well, this is the time when we're going to say goodnight to our listeners up in the Great Northwest, and we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. We ask you to pray for certainly our boys who are overseas, sent over there by Donald Rumsfeld, former CEO of Cyril, who, of course, has killed and maimed so many of our helpless children. And ladies and gentlemen, men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. This is not just my job, my battle, Betty's battle. It's the battle of everybody that really cares about children, that cares about freedom. Get informed, get involved, let other people know, get copies of a tape like this or our four tape set on aspartame or the books we've talked about. And then, of course, till Monday when we'll be back with you, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization. It's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. We have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please, give us a call at any time. Our guests this evening, Betty Martini, and Betty, of course, is good enough to be with us this evening as we go into the background of the incredible, incredible things that are happening as far as aspartame and the fact that this is being used in so many of the food products across America. And, of course, the average person really doesn't know what's going on. And unless you read the label and unless you understand, they're not even going to call it aspartame or NutraSweet, they're going to call it something else. And unless you understand this, why, of course, you're going to be helping to poison your family. And it's an incredible, incredible story. But when you stop and think that they knew that this was carcinogenic, and it was going to produce problems, cancers of the prostate and of the thyroid and cancers of the brain and so many other cancers. And yet they gave it to our children and they gave it to our young people and they're giving it to our adults. And we see epidemics of diabetes and all of these other things today. And we see people with convulsions and a rising number of convulsions and all the children with brain tumors, really skyrocketing rates of brain tumors. And of course, they knew when they authorized this, when they got this through the FDA, this is exactly what was going to happen. Has anybody tried to contact Dr. Donald Rumsfeld and ask him how he could justify this? Is money that important to him?
I doubt if he would answer, but I'm sure that he knows what's going on because he has been written about all over the Internet. They call him Mr. Aspartame. So I'm sure that he's done a search on his own name, although I don't know that anybody has written to him personally.
All right. Well, you know, it's all sort of the same total corruption. I mean, he was one of the people who started planning on this war with Iraq, and they had to lie to the American people. They had to tell us about the weapons of mass destruction. They knew there weren't any there. But, of course, only now are they saying, gee, sucks. Well, they must have buried him, or maybe they destroyed him, or maybe maybe Saddam Hussein is hiding down in a bunker with all of these. But you see, these are people without conscience or sense of right and wrong. These are people intent upon power and, of course, energized, I believe, by different forces. But that's a completely different subject. We're talking this evening about the legalization of NutraSweet back in 1981 Donald Rumsfeld put pressure, actually got a gentleman appointed to as head of the FDA simply to get this product through FDA. How long had the FDA been saying, refusing to authorize the use of aspartame?
For 16 years.
For 16 years. And, of course, they put a new man in. How long was he in office before he went to work for the aspartame manufacturers after authorizing it?
Are you talking about Dr. Arthur Hull Hayes?
Right.
He was in there until 1983 when he approved it in carbonated beverages. Without anybody knowing. I mean, there was no meeting, board of inquiry, never even dreamed he would do this. And as soon as he did, he left and then went to work for the PR agency of the manufacturer. And in fact, if you want to go to the website, you can go to, we have the audio from Fox News TV where they actually went to Dr. Hayes' home and asked him, didn't he owe the American people an explanation? You know, and was it dangerous? And he just simply shut the door in their face and told them to go back to the FDA. They did find him. He lives in Upper State New York.
Well, when was this done, do you recall?
This was about 3 years ago. But, you know, 12 minutes on Washington TV is a long, long time for the news. That was a 12-minute news clip of Washington, D.C. news.
And they were going into the whole background of...
They did. They went into this whole background about how it got approved.
All right. Well, I wish this had been shown all across America, but I think it's so vitally important that people understand the degree of corruption that exists within our government. As these gentlemen, go to government, they get something approved, and then they leave government and they go to work for the company that benefited from their action as a commissioner. And of course, if there was any fairness at all, this would be outlawed. These people would be charged with fraudulent activity, and of course, would be imprisoned, and as well as the CEOs of the company that they went to work for. But that isn't the way the system works, unfortunately. And whether it's a military-industrial complex or a medical-pharmaceutical complex, it's all really the same. And this is what happens in a country that has turned its back on moral values and right and wrong and God. So now, as far as the impact on minds, does it have any impact on the intellect of the children? Do we know at all?
Oh, yes, it reduces IQ. Dr. Roberts has written about that. That's in the medical text. I believe Dr. Blaylock has, too. You're talking about, three neurotoxins that can't do anything but, destroy the brain. And the brain, in the young is not fully developed, as Dr. Blaylock discusses in excitotoxins. And it causes so many different problems. Maybe you'd be interested in the FDA list that I have in front of me that might help people to understand the things that it causes.
You go right ahead. Now, this comes from the Federal Drug Administration. Was this made, put together before it was approved, before aspartame Nutrasweet was approved?
This is taking the complaints. And by 1995, they had like 10,000 complaints. But actually, they had more than that because it was discussed during Congress that they were just swamped with aspartame complaints. They couldn't get rid of them so that they referred them to the AIDS hotline. And it's sort of like in 1996 when they granted blanket approval, they had to show that the complaints were going down. Now I was wondering how they were going to do that because, first of all, they'll only go to 10,000. But even if they don't take complaints, how are they going to make it go down? So what they did was, as people called and complained, they said, well, we're not taking aspartame complaints anymore. And then when they put the numbers out the next year, it was below 10,000, and they put a note on the bottom saying that the FDA had changed their bookkeeping system, and they had, and in order to do that, they had to throw away hundreds of aspartame complaints. And that's the way that they got away with it. So I know that they're always swamped because people send me copies of the letters that they send to the FDA. So it's they just simply won't report them. But here is what they will agree to, that headache is number one. Dizziness or problems with balance is number two. Now keep in mind there's 92 change in mood quality and level, and that's the depletion of serotonin, vomiting and nausea, abdominal pain, cramps, change in vision and blindness, diarrhea, seizures and convulsions, memory loss, fatigue, neurological symptoms, rash, sleep problems, hives, change in heart rate, itching, change in sensation, numbness, grand mal seizures, local swelling, change in activity, difficulty breathing, oral sensory changes, change in menstrual pattern, that is the causing the infertility, skin problems. I mean, it just goes on and on, and these are just a few of the 92 symptoms that, and of course, the patients don't really, victims don't associate it with aspartame. They figure they're getting older, their vision's going, they think that maybe they're getting arthritis as it hardens the synovial fluids, and they think that it's a very subtle poison. But some of the most severe ones are cardiac arrest and seizures, and these are in the Center for Disease Control Investigation, which we also have on web. And it's interesting that was one of the most damning investigations, and they put a summary on it that contradicted the report. So after...
In other words, the report said one thing, and the summary of the report said a different thing?
Yes, it went on the investigation. If you read it, it's 146 pages long. It goes into seizures, cardiac arrest, myocardial infarctions or heart attacks, mood changes, liver problems, and even death. And then the summary says, these findings were just mild. I told CDC I haven't seen a case of mild death as long as I've lived.
And what was their response?
Nothing. They just wouldn't take it off. That's all. And if you go to their website today, you'll see the summary, but they will not put out the investigation.
Now, do you have the complete investigation?
Yes, I have the original document.
And is that on your website?
Yes, we scanned it in.
All right. And so it's so vitally important. You go to doorway.com, D-O-R-W-A-Y, and start pulling down Betty's material. And then I think it would be interesting to go to the CDC, find the summary, and note that they only put up the summary, not the full report, and then notice the difference between the summary and what the report says. Now, what did they actually find? What did the CDC actually find in their report?
They found all the things that that were seen in the population. You know, the drug interaction, the problem that they were having, you know, with children, and the problems here on the FDA report of the complaints. But when you get into things like cardiac arrest, myocardial infarction, and grand mal seizures, and liver dysfunction, and all these things, these are serious things. They are not mild things. And, oh, there was an answer from the CDC that was very interesting. This summary was put on by Dr. Crowbridge, and I said, how could you allow a summary that contradicted the investigation? And the CDC wrote me back and said, well, Dr. Trowbridge had retired. And I wrote him back and I said, what has that got to do with anything? So this is what happened with Flying Safety, is that somebody sent Flying Safety, which is the magazine of the U.S. Air Force, a copy of the summary, and they retracted Warning Pilot. So I called the editor and said I was sending them a copy of the complete investigation by the CDC. And it was interesting, when I called her back, I said, did you read the investigation and see how damning it was? She said, yes, ma'am. I said, do you realize you were wrong in your retraction? She said, yes, ma'am. And I said, well, are you going to retract it and put the truth in? She said, no, ma'am. I said, how come? She says, because we've been told we can't do it and that you are to call the Pentagon and public relations, but we can't talk to you. So I told her, I said, well, I got news for you. I'm coming down to New Mexico. That's where Kirkland Air Force Base is. She said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. So
who actually publishes this? Is this a military publication?
Yes, this is Flying Safety of the U.S. Air Force, and it's published down there at Kirkland Air Force Base in New Mexico. And so, interestingly, I called the Pentagon, and as soon as you mention aspartame, they won't talk to you. And, in fact, they had a recording, and they took the recording off. And then I boarded a plane for New Mexico, and that's when I took all these packets down there. It was very interesting. My husband said, now just exactly how do you think you're going to get on an Air Force base? I said, well, I was always told if you were obvious that you could get away with it. So I simply went up there and said, well, I'd like to see the military police right away, the Air Force military police. And they said, yes, ma'am, let me give you a badge so you can get all over the base. So I went and talked to the military police, and I had them helping me make copies of pallet packets. And I asked them where the pallets were. They said, well, probably in the, you know, they have an officer's club. So I went out there and gave them out and put some in the officer's club. And I told my husband, I said, mission accomplished, we can go. He said, I don't think so. And we were encircled by the Air Force police. And one of the men came up and they said, Mrs. Martini, will you please step out of your car? And I said, how can I help you? He says, well, we found out that you're not supposed to be on this base. And secondly, that we're not supposed to be making copies of your pallet packets. And obviously, you must be a terrorist because we're going to have war games here tomorrow. But in any event, I had so much material, they were thoroughly convinced I was not a terrorist at the end, and they let us go. But the mission had been accomplished. And about a week later, I got a call from Kirkland Air Force Base, and one of the pilots who said, we are so glad you came down here and distributed these, and we have a lot more power than you are, and we will see that every pilot on this base gets the information.
Well,
so the mission was accomplished.
Well, I think that's amazing, and of course, what's really frightening is to realize that there are people in the Pentagon that will endanger the lives of our pilots and the homes and people that their planes could crash into simply because of the tremendous pressure of people like Donald Rumsfeld and similar ilk who have no concern about or compassion towards human suffering or human danger. They have their own agenda. So, you know, but more power to you. And of course, I can see why you might be very, very unpopular.
Well, you know, one of those pilots on American, he died in flight drinking a diet drink. And they would not, I called the widow, they would not allow her to see the autopsy. They had authorized an autopsy to his brain, which that they should not have done. In other words, they didn't have the right to do that. But the widow said that American would not allow her to see it. And they said that he probably died of an embolus. So did one of the subjects that took part in the aspartame studies in South America, because it will do that.
In other words, this is, what are you doing? You're drinking, what, four, five, six, a diet drink, something like that?
No, you know, the interesting thing, even in Dr. Blaylock's new book, Health and Nutrition Secrets, it says all it takes is one diet drink a day to cause significant DNA damage. And there is no allowable daily intake of a poison, and that was admitted during congressional hearings. The FDA commissioner finally had to admit that the allowable daily intake was set for rats, because rats can tolerate methanol and humans can't. And you can't say that you could have so much poison. Even in a lecture that Dr. Blaylock gives on the Doorway website, he says, understand the reactions to aspartame are not allergic. They are toxic, like arsenic and cyanide. You're actually using a chemical poison. And one of the TV expos, they did that here in Atlanta. We used a woman who had never even had aspartame, but someone handed her one piece of sugar-free gum with aspartame, and she had a grand mal seizure, and that woman almost died. So it doesn't matter how much they use, because there is no safe dose of a chemical poison.
Well, of course, the thing is that some people are probably more sensitive than others and to these products, don't you think?
Well, yes, some people tolerate it better than others. A lot of people may think they may not have problems, but neither did the man that worked in the aspartame factory and got aspartame dust on him and dropped dead. When they did an autopsy, they said that inside his body, it was like a man who'd been drinking alcohol for 30 years, and the man was a non-drinker, had never ever drinking alcohol, but that's what it had done to his body. Some people, they'll get headaches. Other people, you know, they'll get joint pain. They'll get so addicted, some of them, you know, get immune to it. And they have the problems, but they have that craving for it, and they have a terrible problem getting off of it. And they think that their vision's getting worse. I may have told you at one time, it was interesting that an organic market here made up 16,000 Killer Cola brochures on medical records on aspartame and gave them out free. And people... the medical records were so bad. You know, there was an article on a woman who died here from it on how it was listed with the Pentagon, Dr. Roberts' paper on aspartame and diabetes, that if you read that booklet, you just automatically got off of it. But about 60 days later, the owner called, said people were coming in by the thousands. They had been going from doctor to doctor and couldn't find what their problems are, and they just woke up well. And people who were almost blind, some of them actually blind, had already gotten their vision back. People who had seizures, the seizures stopped. People who had MS problems walked out of wheelchairs. So all that happened within 60 days, and that's why they don't want aspartame taken off the market, because they know that all these people, all these problems are going to disappear, and they're going to know what poison them.
Now, where was it that they took it off the market, or did people stop using it?
Here in Atlanta.
Okay. Well,
they gave out 16,000 brochures on some of the damning information against aspartame that the public didn't know. So even if they didn't think they had problems, they just got off of it because they found out how deadly it was. And then about 2 months later, many of the problems that they had disappeared. And they were just absolutely shocked. Some of the people told me they had been going to doctors for years and nobody could help them. But they just woke up, their headaches were gone, their joint pain was gone, their tinnitus was gone. And they immediately knew that it was aspartame that had kept them sick for so many years.
And, of course, were any of these reported to the FDA? Not that it would do any good, but any of them reported to the FDA, do you know?
I may have reported some of them that were sent to me. I don't know whether they did. You know, Dr. Kessler said in the Journal of the American Medical Association that only 1% of serious problems are reported to the FDA, and I believe that, you know. So when they, even when they say 10,000 complaints, you can imagine how many complaints there are. Many people don't even associate the problems with it. I've had women just, you know, cry their heart out when they've lost 8 babies and never realized it was aspartame. They had no way of knowing, absolutely no way of knowing. And, of course, they couldn't report it because they didn't associate it.
Well, now, how is this lawsuit going, and how soon will this be going to court? Because I would think that this would, in many respects, dwarf the tobacco settlements, you know, once this information gets out from the number, you know, once you start, you know, it's one thing when you've got people dying of cancer. It's another thing when you've got children with permanent birth defects and mental problems and brain tumors. You know, that will certainly rock the very structure of this country.
I know, but the attorney said that it's a momentous thing. I mean, it's a big thing. I'm still transferring case histories to them, and they have a lot of work to do because this is going to go throughout the entire United States. You know, and they work with other attorneys, I would imagine. But I've been working with them for 2 years, and they're still working on it. That's how big it is.
Well, now, are they interested in getting case histories?
Yes, 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 in these areas. Now, I've asked them, will they take the others eventually? Because I think they ought to go after the area of diabetes because it's affected every diabetic and birth defects and this. But they're starting with things that are so well documented, like the brain tumors and the seizures and the blindness, because even in 1986, the Community Nutrition Institute in Washington, D.C., had petitioned the FDA to ban aspartame because so many at that time were going blind and having seizures on it. And I think MIT had reported 80 cases, and the Community Nutrition Institute said that was enough for FDA to take it off the market immediately. But they wouldn't do it. By that time, they were, you know, well loyal to industry, and simply from that point on, you know, they started to protect aspartame.
Now, when did the FDA really change? Was it during the Reagan administration when they really, of course, went over to the other side?
It was after it was approved, and there was so much association, you know, with industry. You have to think that here they had worked so hard to not approve it for 16 years, and no matter what they did, they tried to get them indicted, you know, they refused to approve it, they wrote reports on all the lying that Searle did. In fact, that's on the holisticmed.com aspartame site. There's a dateline going from the beginning where Dr. Adrian Gross explains all the things they lied about and how they filtered things that they wanted the FDA to see. And then all of a sudden it was approved, and they were told to say that it was safe. And I guess there is no way to say, yes, we approved it, but no, it's not safe. I think one FDA investigator in Florida, a woman whose child had a seizure, and she called in, and finally he said, well, we said it was bad. We said it caused seizures. Somebody should have listened to us. But that was a rare incident. And, of course, I recently sent you an article from the UK from the Nasty Magazine where Arthur Evangelista, a former FDA investigator, did expose it. And all the collusion and said it should never have been approved.
Right. In fact, I appreciate all those things that you sent me. My email is full, and I'm, of course, going to be taking these all off, and I'm going to, of course, be putting them into a folder just so I'll have them readily available. But, of course, I'm sure that's just a very, very small part of the information that you've accumulated.
Oh, my goodness. There's 800 pages on Doorway that print out to over 10,000 pages. And then we've linked to many sister sites with even more information. The Aspartame Toxicity Center, the support groups have a website. We have it in different languages. There's a Mission Possible, Sweden, Holland. everything in different, you know, in the languages of their people. So there's 100,000 websites with the information on there. So yes, nobody can say they couldn't find information on aspartame.
But you see, if our attention isn't focused on it, why, we're not even going to be looking at the websites, and that's why we do what we do, hoping
exactly.
that we will have people out there listening and getting informed and then helping us to inform others. Now, what's happening over in Japan? Because certainly there have been some studies out of Japan to show how harmful it is. Are they, of course, doing anything to try to limit it there? Or any of the countries have the courage to take a stand? We know that many of the European countries have taken the fluoride out of the drinking water. You know, it's simply here in America it's being used to poison the people. Even in England, the only people they poison are the people in Northern Ireland, you know, with their fluoride. But what's happening in the rest of the
Europe? First of all, you know, you may have heard me say that the European Parliament has now voted to re-examine the issue. As far as Japan, the only study I know that came out was a couple of weeks ago with the one that it causes infertility in men. And I'm glad to have that because we do have to see that problem as well as the infertility in women. In fact, I would say in the 10 years I have been educating people on aspartame, every single woman who has told me she could not bear children, who I got off aspartame, has got pregnant and had children. In fact, one of them is named for Dr. Roberts. And the fertility doctor she went to said, if you ever find that woman who took away your Diet Coke, you tell her there is a run on the name Roberta. She had a little girl named after Dr. Roberts.
All right. Well, you're getting to the doctors at all, because here's such an important group, and if they would simply tell their patients, quit taking this poison, you know, of course, this would sweep the country overnight, and these companies would go out of business.
Well, I can tell you that here in Atlanta, I have been to every medical complex and hospital and given information to all the doctors. One of the problems is that they do get hooked on it themselves, and I've had a time with some of them even calling victims doctors and who don't want to believe it, and then finally I'll say, doctor, are you using it? And they'll say, yes, I am. So that's one of the problems. That's how addictive it is. But I think that we, with four support groups, every one of those victims have taken information to their physician. And Dr. Roberts mailed out brochures on medical text all over the United States to physicians. So it's out there. It's just that I think that doctors have to take some responsibility for investigating the issue, regardless of the fact that the FDA, you know, tells them it's safe and that it's an additive instead of a drug. If a patient comes in there and says, my symptoms disappeared and this is what caused it and here's the medical records, they should take notice. Occasionally that happens. I know that with Mission Possible West Virginia, this lady told her doctor, and her doctor saw the symptoms disappear. He not only wrote a letter to every one of his patients and told him to get off of aspartame, but he had it published in the local newspaper, the letter that he wrote. So it just depends. You know, in some places, they really work at it. In the UK, they're distributing flyers everywhere. I mean, they're setting up more and more Mission Possible operations. So, as you know, it's a hands-around-the-world campaign. So many of the operations are very creative. We walk with the diabetics during the diabetic walks and give out information. They're funded by NutraSweet, and we give them information showing that that's exactly what's harming them. We give out information to people on any of the walks, like the MS walk. They were, in Atlanta, they were giving them Diet Coke.
Now, we're going to be back here in just a moment. With Betty Martini, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Betty Martini, and you will want to go to her website, doorway.com. There's one O in doorway. It's DORWAY.com. And this is a doorway to knowledge. And I'll tell you after you've read some of this material, and then, of course, you've checked the text, and I have this phenomenal, great big book by Dr. Roberts, which we will be offering through Radio Liberty, and we already carry Dr. Blaylock's Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, and his book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And these are both important books, much easier to read. You've got to really be dedicated to get that a great big book and get into that. But fascinating, and if you really want to have all the documentation, this is the final book on that. It's over 1,000 pages. It's just about 1,000 pages. But now, Betty, tell us a little bit about the relationship between MS and of course, the aspartame. Basically, MS is a progressive neurological disease, comes in cycles where these people are gradually, they'll have intermittent blindness, they'll have, weakness, and sometimes then they'll go permanently blind. It affects their affect. They're sort of they almost don't seem to be as concerned about the terrible thing that's happening to them as they begin to lose their function of their arms and legs and eventually their bladder and bowels. But, you know, and you see them, and they, first of all, they have some difficulty walking, and then into a wheelchair, and then many times, eventually, bedbound, they can't even get up at all, and even have difficulty swallowing, and it's a terrible, terrible disease. Now, how often do you think that this is actually directly related to these aspartame and NutraSweet and excitotoxins?
Well, aspartame destroys the central nervous system, and what it does is mimic MS. It's the methanol toxicity. But Dr. Roberts always points out that it's the whole chemical mess that does this. First of all, I was reading you the FDA report of 92 symptoms, and dizziness was number two. That's because it's destroying the central nervous system. And like vision loss is like number five. So here you have all the symptoms of MS. They're having all these neurological symptoms. They're losing their eyesight. They are slurring their words. And so they think that's what it is. Many times a doctor will make a diagnosis even though he doesn't see anything on an MRI. So Dr. Roberts wrote a position paper, which we have on web, Multiple Sclerosis or Aspartame Disease. And he points out, he said, do not make a diagnosis of MS as long as the patient is on aspartame and not until several months later. Because if they do, for one thing, Dr. Roberts says they can lose their insurance and they may not even have MS. And what disturbs him the most is doctors think, well, we'll put this patient on early MS medication. But because aspartame causes so much toxicity to begin with, adding those toxic drugs, which they don't need, it's just going to make the situation worse. So, we are just absolutely inundated with people with MS symptoms, and we see them one by one. All their symptoms disappear. They get up out of wheelchairs and walk away from it. And one of the patients, she's Mission Possible Savannah. When I first started talking to her, she couldn't talk very well. More and more, she's lost her slurring, and her MRI is better. One of the cases, Ermel Martinez in California, went back and had an MRI. She had a big lesion, and the lesion had completely disappeared when she got off aspartame. She was in her last year of medical school, and she got hooked on it. And so, it caused her not to become a physician. They were just about ready to put her in a wheelchair, and then someone gave her Dr. Roberts' position paper, and she came to us. Today, she can walk and swim and dance. She's a science teacher in L.A., and she's fine and has nothing to show that she ever had MS. That's because she was misdiagnosed. It was aspartame disease. On the other hand, you take somebody like Joyce Wilson. She was misdiagnosed as having MS. She was later correctly diagnosed as it being aspartame by Dr. Morgan Rayford, who was the specialist in methanol toxicity, but it was simply too late for her. She went blind and died. And MS is not a death sentence right away, but methanol toxicity is. So, and then if someone, one of the big problems is, what if someone has a legitimate multiple sclerosis, and then they use aspartame, then it's going to just speed up the disease. One of the ladies on the support group had never used, she had MS, and she never used aspartame until some years later. So we got her off of it. The first thing she said is, I can feel my limbs for the first time in years. So even people who legitimately had MS, when we got them off of aspartame, there was a great deal of improvement.
Now, what about the Parkinson's disease and of course, Alzheimer's? We know that here we had this this young man, I've forgotten his name now, but, you know, he was a very, very popular actor, 40 years old, Parkinson's disease. And my understanding, he was the poster boy for Dr. Pepper.
Michael Fox.
Michael Fox.
And he was a Diet Pepsi spokesman. And he said he wondered why he got Parkinson's at the age of 30. And an informant said that he was absolutely addicted, drinks them all day. And you could see him with his arms moving around. That was the reaction of the interaction of L-DOPA. And I have done a press release on it, and I'm sure that we've gotten it to Michael Fox. And I haven't heard too much about him lately, although I did see a note in the Inquirer that he said his tremors had stopped. As long as Michael Fox is using Diet Pepsi and the type of drugs that are used for Parkinson's, he would have the tremors. So maybe he found out and got off. I don't know. And some of the articles called it Parkinson-like symptoms, which many of the victims have. You may know that Dr. Blaylock lost his father to Parkinson's, and he has always been tremendously interested in this aspect of it, and wrote about aspartame and how it can precipitate Parkinson's in that book, Excitotoxins. Dr. Roberts has written about it, and also in his book, Defense Against Alzheimer's, he writes about how it is escalating Alzheimer's and how it can precipitate Parkinson's. So it's gotten to be quite well known how it causes these neurodegenerative diseases and interacts with the drugs used to treat them.
Well, yeah, this really is amazing. I was thinking of a gentleman I know and known for many years, and of course he, I watched him walk one evening, he had the typical spastic gait of MS, and I talked to him about it, and he told me that he'd been diagnosed, but, you know, he went on to simply a diet and changed, his whole way of life, and it was amazing to see him the other day. He's out walking 18 holes of golf now, is ever so much better. And of course, MS doesn't get better on its own. But so obviously, of course, he's also taking all sorts of vitamins and minerals and things of that sort. But I didn't really even stop to ask him whether or not he was on the aspartame or the NutraSweet or they have so many names for it. But this is what's in all the diet drinks that are so being sold all across America today.
Montel Williams is another one you may remember. And Montel Williams on his TV show did mention that aspartame disease mimics MS. So many people wrote him that he did advise the public. And then later on I heard how well he was doing. So I don't know whether he was using it or not.
Okay, fine. Well, I think that there's so much out there, so much information. And of course, the rising rates of Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's disease within our population, and certainly the rising rates, shocking rising rates of autism, the shocking rise in rates of diabetes, and not only in children, but in adults. And, of course, what do they do? Well, we can't type sugar, so what we'll do is we'll just up the use of our diet drinks so that we have the sweet, but we don't have any sugar there. Without realizing, of course, they're just compounding the problems. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, our guest is Betty Martini. Her website is www.doorway.com. That's the www.dor, Way, doorway.com with just one O. And of course, we're talking about the tragic situation where Donald Rumsfeld, CEO of Cyril, used his power to force this to be accepted, and then of course brought this toxin, which had been known to be a toxin and known to produce brain tumors and convulsions in children, brought it onto the market with all the harm that it's subsequently done. Now, I'm sure you must have looked at the incidence of the brain tumors in children. How much has it increased over the last 20, 30 years? Do you have any idea?
Well, Dr. Oney was talking. That's when he made world news in 1996. He was talking about this escalation. And, of course, the company was saying, well, this started in the 70s. Basically, aspartame, I have heard, was actually on the market before it was approved. In fact, I live across the street from someone who helped build the NutraSweet factory and said that they were selling it long before. What the statistics, I think the statistics are being kept down. I told somebody that after that happened with Dr. Oney, I said, next year they're going to show the statistics to be down. And actually they were. And I called one tumor registry, and they said, well, we're not supposed to give out the statistics on astrocytomas. I said, how come? She says, I don't know. We were just told we were not supposed to. So I got on the brain tumor list, which I was on for about 2 years, and it was incredible. Many of the people were talking of why so many people had brain tumors that on their street. One said they had five. Somebody else said they had, you know, eight in the area. Some of their family members had them, and that they were simply exploding. But they don't crack brain tumors. I can't call the Center for Disease Control and say exactly how many brain tumors are there. But everywhere you go, people are talking about the brain tumors. I went and did some research for CDC on leukemia, and they told me that normally only 10% are reported, but that I had given them more than entire Emory University because I wanted them to have the facts. But as far as brain tumors, they are not actually tracked where you can tell. But it's just like the lady that called in was talking about all the babies with brain tumors. I recently was giving out flyers, and the woman said there were four Diet Coke drinkers in her family, and all four had brain tumors. So they are escalating just from field reports that we get from all over the country. I don't know as from the statistics.
Well, you know, I think it's so interesting, your story of the Centers for Disease Control. You know, and most doctors honestly believe that the Centers for Disease Control and the American Cancer Institute and the National Institute of Health are there to protect the public health and be really concerned about it. Well, there are some good people who work at the CDC. I've been there and talked to them. But there are also some very evil and wicked people who are there. And one only has to see how they've handled the AIDS epidemic and realize that they initially did everything they could to block an effective public health approach to that. Those of you who haven't read the wonderful book, and incidentally we do carry it, it's called Osler's Web. It's the story of the chronic fatigue syndrome. And, of course, how actually if you read the book, you find out there were people working at the CDC who were doing everything they could to actually keep the research from being done to find out what was causing this terrible disease that was incapacitating between 800,000 and a million Americans. And when Congress would appropriate money for research, they'd fill it off into psychological studies. And, you know, it was really an amazing, amazing book. If you haven't read Osler's Web by Hillary Johnson, you really need to. So, but it goes right back to this whole idea of the CDC. Really, there are people there who are using their position to alter the scientific data and confuse the public. That's one of the great tragedies. We've got somebody calling, and let's see who that is, because my producer is getting me a glass of water. Who do we have on the line?
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Hi, Dr. Stan, this is Richard.
Okay, did you have a question or comment? This is Richard from Florida. I recognize the voice.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to ask Betty, what are the other different names that aspartame is sold under offhand? If you
aspartame, NutraSweet, Equal, super E-Man-Fab-1, that's in Europe, Canderel, Benevia, on some things that would just say contains phenylalanine. That's a dead giveaway. The law requires that a product have what they call a PKU warning for phenylketonurics who cannot metabolize phenylalanine. It doesn't mean there's always a warning. For instance, if you eat in a restaurant, there's not going to be any warning. And many times it's hidden in artificial and natural flavors. So we simply tell people to go back to scratch. And there are things like cherry Alka-Seltzer. It's not even on the box. It is on the insert if you got a magnifying glass. I think it should always be on the box because then you have to take it back. And you'll find it in things like healthy cereals and flavored coffees and things you might not think of, in jams. There's very few aisles in the grocery store that does not contain products that contain aspartame.
I was surprised to hear there wasn't Smucker's products now. I mean, they used to use sugar, and they were healthy, and they were great. And haven't they gone over to aspartame?
Yes. I think it's a combination of corn syrup and aspartame. I saw it in a restaurant, and I have been meaning to write them. And what worries me is that they are putting it in corn syrup. And you know, corn syrup's in many, many things. And there is no way of knowing without asking the manufacturer. There used to be, when the patent had not expired, the company had to tell you because of phenylketonurics. Today they don't because the patent's expired and people can put it in anything. And someone called in on one radio program who was dealt with the food and restaurants and said they put it in quite heavily, you know, be warned. So when you go in and have something like sweet iced tea, you better ask them, I always do, what did you make the tea with? So you just have to be very, very careful. But the only way to really be safe is not to use processed foods. Anything that's got a bunch of ingredients on it and you don't recognize them, don't buy the product. Or as Dr. Roberts says, when in doubt, throw it out.
Okay, anything else, Richard?
That's it. Thank you very much.
Okay, fine. Good to hear from you. Bye-bye. And Richard listens to our programs, I think, about 5 hours a day. But that's always right. It's always good to hear from him. Well, anyway, of course, I think it's so vitally important that you understand that really you're going to have to either quit using processed food or learn to read everything on the label. Of course, we do anyway because our son is sensitive to a number of certain sulfides and MSGs. Well, right now we've got Mike from, of all places, Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Oh, Santa Cruz. Hi, great show again tonight, Stan. I love this stuff.
You love those Nitro Sweets, or you love to get the facts out?
I love to get the facts out. You know, back in the, just to give a little testimony, back in the late 80s, I was drinking Coca-Cola all the time. You know, the caffeine, sugar thing. And I decided to do myself a favor and switch over to the decaffeinated non-sugar.
Right, the diet drink, right.
Yeah, and that blew my system to pieces. I couldn't believe it. I did that for, I don't know, like a month or so. And
well, those are the fortunate ones. When you react immediately, you know what does it.
Well, I didn't know, but at least I got myself off it. I was hearing at least a few things in the news and on radio about these sugar substitute things in the soft drinks, etc. And I actually did get myself away from it, but it took another, I don't know, 10 or 12 years to get my system straight again. I actually thought I was allergic to milk or dairy products, and I went on the, I can't think of the name, Lactaid type things and stuff like that, and that seemed to help a little bit. I really didn't know what was going on, but it was a mess.
Well, it may be because aspartame is a chemical hypersensitization drug, and it interacts with so many different additives and toxins and vaccines besides interacting with drugs.
Now, does it make you more sensitive to the vaccines?
It actually interacts with them.
Okay.
And Dr. Blaylock writes a lot about that, and Dr. Bowen. That was one of the problems with the a desert storm, was that they had given them anthrax vaccine, and that had interacted. Aspartame is also a chelating agent, so it's going to chelate the mercury right out of your teeth. So on the support groups, most of the people think that they are allergic to all these things, but that's a chemical hypersensitization reaction.
So it takes the mercury out of your fillings and puts it in your system?
That's right. It's a chelating agent.
And no one else, I think.
There is an excellent article on the Doorway website. All you've got to do is scroll down. Remember, Doorway with one O, to experts. And you'll see different doctors and their reports. And if you read Dr. James Bowen's report, Aspartame Murders Infants, you'll see at the very top it gives the mechanism that it's an abortive acid, it's a teratogen, it's an adjuvant. It turns the body against itself. It's a chelating agent. I mean, it just has all the mechanisms that people do not know about aspartame. But they even react to genetically engineered foods now.
Okay, anything else, Mike?
Yeah. What I really wanted to call out was a lady that called earlier, maybe in the last hour.
That was Gloria from Spokane.
Yeah, I think so. I hope she's still listening. She had a question about the people really behind all this stuff. Could there really be such an extent of evil? I hope listeners realize. Well, I think the only ones that can realize would be those who study Scripture, the Bible, God's Word, and the Christians in the listening audience. I hope people can, depart from their level of naivete. Evil has no end. There is evil behind these things.
For we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spirits of wickedness in high places, specifically the Defense Department. I think that was what it said.
Yeah,
well,
right.
My husband is a minister.
That's a close paraphrase, Stan.
Okay.
There are people who are in these chemical systems, these manufacturing, these soft drink, food processing systems that, they don't know what's going on. They mean well. At different levels, there are all sorts of people. Behind this all, there is gross evil. Gross evil.
And people need
to simply understand the nature of evil. And the only people who will understand are those who study their Bible very closely.
Okay, I'm not going to disagree with you at all. You're right on. Well said. Thanks so much, Mike.
Yes.
Bye-bye. And of course, it's hard if you're not a believer to believe that anything could be done intentionally to hurt people. And yet, of course, one only has to study what happened in Hitler's concentration camps and understand that they had regular meetings planning how they could kill the most people most efficiently. No human compassion, no human concern. But, of course, what drove this whole movement was the occult. But that's a different subject. Right now, our guest this evening is Betty Martini. We're talking about the use of aspartame so widely within our population, the myriad of symptoms, and the fact that there is a network of people that are out there in something called Mission Possible. Now, is that your organization, or is that tied to another organization?
No, that's our organization, Mission Possible International, and then, there's Mission Possible Georgia and Mission Possible Florida and by the cities.
You've got chapters all across the country, huh?
Everywhere.
All
and,
right.
Around the world and just completely networked with just one thing, one aim is to alert the public not to use it. No matter how long it takes us to get it off the market, at least that's the one thing that we're very interested in is making sure that, is that we educate the public, the schools, get it out schools, save the children, alert OBGYN doctors, alert neurologists, why they're seeing so many seizures. And I attended the conference of the American College of Physicians with Dr. Roberts, and the professor of neurology, the first thing that he said, doctors, He said, even if it's off the wall, please tell me why so many of the public are having seizures for no reason. And so Dr. Roberts asked that I answer him, and I said, well, you know, we got two-thirds of the population on aspartame. It's a seizure-triggering drug. And he said, well, I thought that was in rare cases of phenylketonuria. And I said, no. I said, it lowers the seizure threshold in all people. And one of the doctors there said that he was a pilot. He says, I'm afraid she's right. I have a friend who's a pilot who drinks diet drinks, has grand mal seizures, and we're going to have to report him. And those lectures were recorded. But even then, the doctors were scratching their head. So what we try to do is get to the consumer, of course, and get to the doctor. For every doctor who we can educate, we can save the lives of thousands. And we get, you know, like the Olympics, we saturated Atlanta during the Olympics, and Coca-Cola was the sponsor, but they would not even give out or sell Diet Coke on the torch route because we were there giving out thousands and thousands of flyers. We were there at the airport giving packets to the athletes as they boarded the planes back to their country.
And, of course, you say that the Coke was there. Were they giving out free Cokes but not Diet Cokes?
They kept announcing they were out of Diet Coke. Can you imagine Coca-Cola out of Diet Coke? Right here in the home of Coca-Cola. They just knew, you know, this was during the summer. It was hot. If they had been giving out Diet Coke and somebody had a seizure with our flyers all over the place, they would have known immediately, you know, what was causing the problem. So they just didn't give it out.
Well, you know, I would think that you would be able to send them some information by certified mail saying, this is it, and now you've been notified, and our lawyers are going to begin moving very, very soon against the suit, not only against the manufacturers of this, but against Coca-Cola. You know, unless you take this out, and you've got 30 days to answer. Have you thought of about doing something like that?
Well, I have a letter. It's called Hey Coke. That's on the doorway that has been sent to them. I've even offered to debate the head of Coca-Cola. At one time, media came down and we spilled out Diet Coke, and Coke refused. Because everything's a matter of record, all I've got to do is pull out the protest of the National Soft Drink Association, and you know, then they know that we know they know. And so they won't debate anything. And
well, I would think that, you know, we could, all you need would be three or four people who have had convulsions, and they could, of course, bring a suit right against them, and that would put an end to it once and for all. We're from out of time. Tony's calling in from Soquel. I'll talk to you afterwards, Tony, but right now, Betty, it's been a fascinating 2 hours. Really, what a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much for not spending the 2 hours with us, and even more than that, thank you for everything you're doing with Mission Possible.
And thank you, Stan, for helping us get out the word.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, and we hope many of you will seriously consider joining our effort. You know, it's an expensive proposition what we do, and if we could have the funding, we'd put this on shortwave as well and get it on Genesis. Give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and well, until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
Trash can. This is the latest on the emergency health power tax.
Okay.
It just came out of the House Militant Appropriation.
All right.
These are the people that voted for and no against it. And this is the analyst that did a nice summary.
Is it pretty good?
No.
What about it?
Oh,
it's accurate.
Yes, it's accurate.
What about